KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, sunny skies and 29 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to be partly cloudy. It'll be windy today, the high around 45. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. An Atlantic resident has bequeathed a valuable art collection, mostly sculptures and glass pieces, to the Atlantic Public Library. During the city's council meeting on Wednesday, Councilman Dana Halder reported on the donation from Richard Hellman, who took over a successful metalworking business that his father founded in 1919. When Richard Hellman retired, he sold the business and settled in Oceanside, California.
Richard Hellman, who I believe used to live in town, has passed away and has left 51 pieces of artwork, and he's also left 5 pieces to the Danish Inn Museum. They're in California at this time, and the library has the right to do whatever they want with them, which they've opted to sell them and take the proceeds.
The appraised value of the works, which includes pieces by Oregon artist and sculptor Bill Casper and Georgia sculptor Jim Karg, is approximately $175,000. Halder says it's hoped the library will receive 60% of the appraised value when the items are sold. Library Director Meredith Sherb told KJAN the plan is to sell the collection to an art dealer. Halder says that's because of the liability issue involved with the storing and displaying of the works. News time is 8:01.
Your spouse is frustrated, and you're not sure what you've done to warrant the cold shoulder and snippy retorts. At work, it seems like everyone else has a handle on the new project and is forging ahead, but you're struggling because you didn't quite catch the details on what you're supposed to do. Or maybe you feel left out when everyone in your coffee group laughs at the same time, but you don't get it. Did you miss something? This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. I hear these stories as patients finally come to the realization that they're missing out. The unfortunate part of the story is that I said finally. For whatever reason, many people believe that their difficulty isn't that big of a deal, or it's because of the actions of others. They mumble, they don't look at me when they speak, or any of a number of other excuses. But what they don't realize is that it's their hearing that's the problem. The sooner they take action to correct it, the shorter the rehab process will be, and the sooner the frustrations will fade. It starts with a simple evaluation. Call ASI today, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
The Shelby County Community Foundation has announced grants totaling more than $104,000 were awarded to Shelby County nonprofit agencies. The largest grant was to the Elkhorn Fire and Rescue Department, $30,000, for the construction of a meeting room and bathroom in their fire station. Douglas Township Fire Protection will replace 20-year-old gear for their firefighters with a grant of $12,180. The Defiance Fire Department received $11,000 for an auto pulse CPR unit for their ambulance. $10,000 was awarded to the City of Irwin, Shelby County Historical Society, and the Danish Immigrant Museum. Other nonprofit organizations receiving grant monies from the Shelby County Community Foundation, including Country Care Center, the Panama Fire Department, Shelby County Community Outreach, Shelby County Fair Corporation, and West Central Community Action. All the grantees met criteria as Shelby County nonprofit agencies or organizations, and only those organizations in Shelby County were eligible to receive those grant funds. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources says the DNR's Derelict Building Grant Program will award reimbursement grants amounting to $491,000 to 19 small rural Iowa communities to help deconstruct or renovate abandoned structures and limit construction and demolition materials going to the landfill. In western Iowa, the city of Early is set to receive $45,000 to have asbestos removed, a Phase 1 and 2 assessment to be completed, and full deconstruction of the Payless Cashway building that was damaged by a tornado. The city is partnering with the local economic development office to market the site for commercial interests. And the city of Malvern is receiving $80,000 to partner with the Malvern Area Betterment Association to use funds to complete asbestos inspection, abatement, structural analysis, and building renovation, which will offer commercial and residential space. The DNR Derelict Building Grant Program was instituted by a statute to help rural communities with populations of 5,000 or less. The DBGP funding is awarded annually on a competitive basis with cash matches required. Applications for the next funding round will be in the spring of 2014. Organizers with a Project Paint-a-thon say applications are currently being accepted through June the 7th for a volunteer event designed for homeowners age 60 or over who are permanently disabled. Applicants for the 25th annual Brush Up Paint-a-thon who live in Council Bluffs or Douglas and Sarpy counties in Nebraska must meet financial guidelines listed on the official application, which is available by calling Southwest 8 Senior Services at 712-328-2540 or by calling 211. All applications must be returned by June 7th in order to be eligible for the August 17th Paint-a-thon. An independent selection committee made up of professionals from Housing and Human Services will identify those homeowners who are qualified. The selected homeowners will have their homes painted at no cost, and volunteers paint the exterior of those homes in August of each year. The Paint-a-thon was established in 1989 as a community partnership to spearhead a community-wide effort to paint the homes of older adults and disabled homeowners who are unable to either physically or financially paint their homes. Since the program's inception, volunteer teams have painted more than 2,495 homes. The goal for this year is to paint 80 homes with the help of over 2,500 volunteers. The event is made possible through the support of numerous companies, businesses, and individuals who donate materials and other forms of support for the volunteer teams. Elsewhere in area news, the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest Thursday afternoon of a Red Oak woman. 24-year-old Amanda Kate Carlson of Red Oak was arrested on a Page County warrant for burglary in the third degree and unauthorized use of a credit card. She was turned over to the Page County Sheriff's Office with bond set at $4,000. Page County Sheriff Lyle Palmer reports two people were injured when a garbage truck drove off the side of the road and rolled onto its top. The accident happened around 8:25 a.m. Wednesday on S Avenue near Clarinda. Palmer said the 2001 Freightliner garbage truck driven by 58-year-old James Muller of Villisca was traveling northeast on S Avenue when the vehicle went too close to the right shoulder of the road, which was soft due to the recent rain. When the truck drove off to the right side of the road, its rear end swung around, causing the vehicle to roll over before coming to rest on its top. Muller and his passenger, 65-year-old Lawrence Curran of Villisca, suffered non-incapacitating injuries and were transported by private vehicle to the Clarinda Regional Medical Center. Damage to the truck was estimated at $2,000. No citations were issued. No injuries were reported after a full-size pickup went into a ditch and rolled over Wednesday afternoon in Montgomery County. According to the Iowa DOT Investigative Officer's Report, 42-year-old Eddie Chadwick McClintock of Essex was driving a 2001 Ford F-250 Super Duty crew cab pickup westbound on 250th Street, just off of B Avenue, when the truck caught the edge of the road after traveling only about 75 feet. The pickup slid into the north ditch and rolled once, coming to rest on the driver's side against some trees. The accident, which happened around 3:50 p.m. Wednesday, about 7 miles southwest of Red Oak, caused about $12,000 damage. There were no citations issued. Well, on Wednesday, April 24th, the Atlantic Community School District will be conducting its biannual Career Day at the Atlantic High School. Students from the high school and 8th grade middle school students will have an opportunity to listen to speakers throughout the day that will discuss topics related to careers in the area. Students participating in the event will gain a better understanding of expectations, needed level of education, training, and day-to-day operations in their field of interest. There will be 110 different career areas that students can choose from. Speakers from Omaha, Des Moines, Ames, and around Southwest Iowa will present to the students. The day will be kicked off by keynote speaker Roger Underwood, a 1976 graduate of the Atlantic High School. The day will begin at 8:15 a.m. again on April 24th with the keynote speaker and will include four different breakout sessions for the students. Senate Democrats and House Republicans are rapidly trading education proposals, suggesting that a compromise deal might not be far off. Democrats on Thursday said they will accept an offer from Republicans to increase general school funding, but they still want to implement a Democratic proposal to boost teacher pay and offer leadership incentives. In response, Republicans say they wanted to keep their plan that makes salary increases and teacher incentives optional, but they said that they would increase the minimum teacher salary for schools that participate to $33,500. Lawmakers from the Democrat-majority Senate and Republican-controlled House have been debating how to implement Republican Governor Terry Branstad's proposed education overhaul. The Joint Committee deliberating on education does not yet have another meeting scheduled. And Sioux City will soon have a glowing 30-foot electric guitar added to its skyline after the Racing and Gaming Commission voted 3-2 on Thursday in their meeting in Council Bluffs to award a license for a new land-based casino to the group that proposed a Hard Rock Casino in the downtown Sioux City area. Bill Warner is head of the Sioux City Entertainment Group, which won out over three other proposals. Warner said they'll get to work quickly on building the casino on the city's west end.
We began the design process in advance of this, hopeful that we would get this outcome. So our intent is to begin right away with getting the site ready for construction. Our intent is to begin construction in the summertime and finish by summer of next year.
The vote also means the Missouri River Historical Development, or MHRD, will continue to hold the nonprofit license for the casino, as it has for the Argosy Riverboat Casino that'll be replaced. MHRD Board President Mark Monson had this response following the vote.
I'm happy. MHRD has a lot of work to do. We have about a year or so to develop a plan to become involved in the development of the Woodbury County area. We have some suggestions for our board that we will have to consider.
And under Iowa gambling law, the nonprofit holds a license to conduct gambling games while the operator holds a license to operate the casino gambling structure or boat. Two of the commissioners took Monson and the MHRD board to task for deterioration of their relationship with riverboat operator Penn Gaming, Commissioner Greg Cipher.
I believe MHRD had the duty to try everything within its power to come to an agreement with its operator. When I was appointed to the commission in 2006, I had my orientation session with Jack Ketterer. Jack emphasized two things. First, that a gaming license is a privilege and not a right. And second, that the guiding principle for the commission and staff is to uphold and protect the integrity of the gaming industry. I question the integrity of MHRD and the city.
The deterioration of that relationship led the board to open up the license process for the land-based casino. Commission Chair Jeff Lamberti said the split vote showed just how tough a decision it was.
It was essentially a 3-1-1 vote, so to speak. And, you know, I never anticipated we'd have a unanimous vote, because as I looked at the quality of these projects, I saw how hard it was for me to make a decision. I knew the other four members were struggling, and I think it speaks to the quality of these proposals.
Ben did submit a proposal for the land-based casino, but lost out to the Hard Rock proposal. The commission set a timeline of March the 15th to have the casino open. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, authorities in the Boston area are looking for 19-year-old Jokhar Tsarnaev, one of the suspects in the Boston Marathon bombing. Associated Press sources say Tsarnaev originally is from the Russian region near Chechnya, but he'd been living in the Boston suburb of Cambridge. His brother, who was the second suspect in Monday's bombing, was killed overnight in an exchange of gunfire with police in nearby Watertown. Authorities are telling the entire city of Boston and some surrounding areas to stay inside until the surviving suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing attack is captured. The 19-year-old suspect and his brother, who is now dead, are believed to have also shot and killed a security officer at MIT and shot and wounded an officer with the transit police. The father of one of the suspects in the Boston Marathon bombing claims his son, who is still on the loose, is a smart and accomplished young man. Ansar Tsarnaev told the Associated Press by telephone from the Russian city of Makhalcha on Friday, that police shot one of his sons, 26-year-old Tamron, had been killed in the shootout, and the other had been intensely pursued. The elder Tsarnaev said that his son is a true angel, and he says he's a second-year medical student in the U.S. He's an intelligent boy, and we expected him to come on the holidays back to Russia. KJAN News, time is 8:12.
Your spouse is frustrated, and you're not sure what you've done to warrant the cold shoulder and snippy retorts. At work, it seems like everyone else has a handle on the new project and is forging ahead, but you're struggling because you didn't quite catch the details on what you're supposed to do. Or maybe you feel left out when everyone in your coffee group laughs at the same time, but you don't get it. Did you miss something? This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. I hear these stories as patients finally come to the realization that they're missing out. The unfortunate part of the story is that I said finally. For whatever reason, many people believe that their difficulty isn't that big of a deal, or it's because of the actions of others. They mumble, they don't look at me when they speak, or any of a number of other excuses. But what they don't realize is that it's their hearing that's the problem. The sooner they take action to correct it, the shorter the rehab process will be, and the sooner the frustrations will fade. It starts with a simple evaluation. Call ASI today, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In the funeral announcements, Dean J. Stiles, age 76, of Dexter, died Sunday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Memorial services for Dean Stiles will be today at 11 o'clock at the Dexter United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter has the arrangements. Nioma Clausen, age 89, of Elkhorn, died Wednesday in Blair, Nebraska. Funeral services for Nioma Clausen will be Saturday at 10:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton is in charge of the arrangements. Delbert Dwayne Johnson, age 81, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at his home. Graveside services for Delbert Johnson will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Oakwood Cemetery in Lewis. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has the arrangements. And Richard Hochstetter, age 55, of Greenfield, died Wednesday at the Adair County Hospital. No services will be held for Richard Hochstetter. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle is in charge of the arrangements. That is a check of the news brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.